You're listening to the Home Staging Show podcast, and this is Season 2, Episode 11. This is your host, Cindy Lin. Hey guys, welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of the Home Staging Show podcast. Today's show is going to be a little bit different. It's going to be a solo cast. It's just me. We've been doing a lot of interviews this season and they've been really awesome. But I kind of want to just take a little bit of a break. Don't worry, we're still going to do interviews. But I think this episode is going to be a little bit break and also kind of answer some of the frequently asked questions I've been getting from the audience. The other thing is I'm going to try something new this episode. Normally, I script out everything that I'm going to say on the show and I read the script on the show. And you can probably tell, especially from my earlier episodes in season one, it does sound a little bit stiff and it's not very loose. So today I want to try something new. If you hate it or you love it, feel free to leave me a note in the show notes. I always love to talk to audience, so don't be shy. And a lot of you have been emailing me, and that's fine too. Or you can also ask questions in the Facebook group. So don't forget, there's another way to talk to me as well. Okay, so today's show is going to be about shopping. Shopping is a pretty big topic because a lot of times I get questions like, oh, I don't know what kind of stuff to buy, or I don't know where to get a good deal. Like, what are your strategies and point, like tips and stuff like that? So I figured on the show today, I'm going to go over those things as well. And since it's a bit of a looser show, you'll probably be hearing me flipping through my notes. So I hope you don't mind that, a little bit of background noise. Before we get started today, I just want to update you on a few different progress of things that's happening in the Stage More Land. We just wrapped our second annual Stages Retreat. So last year, I had this idea of putting together a retreat for stagers who've been in the business for a long time, like me. Because I find that there's kind of a disconnect. There's a lot of programming out there for stagers who are starting out, but not necessarily for people who have move on to the next phase where they're ramping up for growth or they are like established in the market. So I set up a retreat here locally in Napa Valley to kind of get together and chat business and mastermind. And last year we only did 3 days. So we have first day arrival, we have a dinner, and then we have second day where we spend all day mastermind and chatting. And then the third day, we had a final finish, like a final breakfast to wrap up the weekend. And then this year, we added on a day where I hired 4 speakers, one on legal, Alex King, who's a great contracts lawyer, small business lawyer here in the Bay Area from the Bent Law Group, J5, who talks about the finance of the business. And then I have Laura Renner, who talks about HR, and she was like such an amazing speaker. I just love her energy. And she had a really good way of breaking things down. And even like with business stuff, I love how she talked about, you know, in terms of communicating with employees or subcontractors, because a lot of people don't realize that. I think also you don't see that on television shows, is that there's actually a lot of different moving parts in a stager's life. When we're on job site, for example, you are in touch with a wide variety of personality. And often because time is of essence, you're always under time pressure and pressure from clients. It can become a very stressful situation very quickly. So there's actually a lot of moving pieces. So same thing with having a business as well. My dad has his own business. And I didn't know this for years, but in the last couple of years, we start talking about work stuff. Because my business had become more established, and he was saying that, yeah, you really need to hire people to grow. Because at the time, I was after being burned from very unethical employees who were actually my girlfriend at the time, not like girlfriend, but like a girl space friend and somebody I went to school with. She basically ripped off my portfolio and then, like, you know, worked for a client, that kind of thing. My dad was kind of like, well, you really need employees to grow. But I was kind of like, no. So me and my sister, we basically just white knuckle it. for 2014. Yeah, so I mean, it was a very different experience not having employees, just subcontractors that help us up on job sites. But it's also very hard. Like, we really white knuckle everything. We're just basically killing ourselves in the process. So Laura helped us, you know, she talked about HR, like how to hire the appropriate people. And the last one was on Strength Finders, which is this book called Strength Finder 2.0. So basically Gallup, the Institute, you know, when they do the election polling, the Gallup, G-A-L-L-U-P, they also have a research arm of their business. And basically they took several million people's test results and they compiled them together and put them together into the Strength Finder test. And which was very fascinating because when I first took it, I was kind of like, I don't really know. But the speaker, Chris Carey, she had a really great way of putting it together to kind of help us see how we can apply that in our daily life and in our work as well. And so my number one strength is an achiever. So I'm very result-driven and I am obsessed with checklists. And when she said that, I laughed because I was like, oh my God, that is so true. For those of you who read my blog, I wrote a blog on Trello and my most favorite feature on Trello is the checklist feature. I'm just obsessed with checklists in general. So yeah, so it was a really great weekend. We just wrapped up 2 weeks ago and it was really fantastic. It was a little bit cold. We rained, you know, it's been a drought forever and it actually rained. So it was kind of amazing for Californians to see. I have not seen or heard a thunderstorm for years. So that was really cool. The other thing too was that we got survey results back today and it was very encouraging because it was a hard process of putting the retreat together, finding the right location. Location alone took me probably a month. And then we had site visit as well. And it was also very unnerving too, like handing over your credit card for this kind of large sum deposit that's non-refundable for the hotel and stuff. So it really made it worthwhile when I get really good feedback from the attendees that they said they're already able to apply all these principles in their business as well. So that was very fabulous and encouraging. We might take a hiatus on the retreat next year just because I really kind of really need to reevaluate in terms of where we're going to put it on. I think it's been fabulous. We've been doing in Napa Valley, but I think the attendance has always been small, which was fine. It's a very intimate setting and we were really able to get to know each other, which was great. But I am thinking about maybe putting it on East Coast. So that's going to shift the cost and also like the challenges is going to be like finding the right speaker for the event. So we'll see. We might take a hiatus on that next year. We might also bring someone on to help us plan the retreat. So I don't know yet. But I know definitely we'll probably do another one in 2017. But I'm not sure for 2016 yet. The other cool thing about our product, EcoJoe, which you have heard over and over again in the previous episode, we just gave EcoJoe his own website again. So originally, when we developed EcoJoe, he had his own website. He had his persona. We actually have fans submit like photos where like EcoJoe's in like funny different places, that kind of stuff. And then when we switch everything over to Squarespace, excuse me, it just made more sense to kind of lump everything together. And also, we just weren't working on EcoJoe as much anymore because at the time we already had a distributor. Excuse me, I'll take a sip of water. We already had a distributor, so it didn't really make a lot of sense. But now we feel like it's probably better to give EcoJoe his own personality and his own website back because that should really be separated from our Stage for More site, especially with Stage for More. Our vision is really to amplify the education component next year. So there's going to be more podcasts planned. There's going to be more content and a more consistent kind of blog schedule. Then now, I haven't been really actively blogging for the last couple months. It's because on the back end, I've been planning a lot of different content for 2016. Speaking of content, we have our course, Stage Your House Like a Pro. We're planning for a winter update right now. So right now we are using a third-party platform, but we're going to shift it all to include in one of our websites. So it's more self-contained. I'm hoping it's going to be a better user experience as well. And also we're going to add in a little bit updates that the students have requested, like a little bit more worksheets and that kind of stuff, and recaps and all that good stuff. So that's coming in probably mid to late January. So we're kind of planning on that, or maybe in early February. So I haven't decided yet. It just depends on how long of a to-do list we have and how soon we can get it all done. So if we are just hustling, maybe we can get it out first thing 2016. That would be really exciting as well. So before we do the update, we're going to let you guys know, and the price can go slightly up to the existing $149. The great thing about our course is that once you bought in to the course, it's there for you for the lifetime of the course. Basically until we, you know, one day we're like closing on the business or whatever. So you basically have, and we're going to keep updating it as well. So the winter update is going to be a mini update. And then we have a major update coming up in the fall where we're going to probably shoot more videos and then add in more media content and to make it a more robust course than it is now. The other thing I've been working on is coming up with a course for stagers. I think there are a lot of courses existing in the marketplace that are really great for starting a staging business. But there's not a course that talks about going from point A to point B, and point A being like your starting point and point B being to maybe established or your definition of success. So I personally struggled for a very long time in my business, and it was very frustrating. And especially I started my business in my mid-20s, and in my late 20s, I had a really hard time with it because that's when the market crashed. When the market was doing great, I was making money. All is well, right? But once the market dropped off, I basically lost my clients, half of my clients overnight. Not because I was a terrible stager, but simply because people got out of real estate because they couldn't sustain their business, or the market, there just wasn't a market. So I was not busy enough to kept it going as a full-time business. And I was very depressed because, and also I was a single woman. I'm still a single woman. So when you're single, a lot of times your identity becomes your work identity. So that was very closely tied in. So I was feeling depressed because I feel like a failure at work. And I feel the same way personally. So it was a hard time. And I feel like there are shortcuts for you to become a successful entrepreneur, to become a successful business owner. So that's really kind of the goal of my course. Of course, that's in the planning stage right now. But if you're a stager in the beginning phase of your business listening to this, and then you want specific things to be for me to go over on the course, please don't hesitate and shoot me an email. Tell me like what you want to hear about, what you want to learn about. But I just want to preface and say that this is not a course that's going to help you get rich quick. Because if I had figured out that long time ago, I probably wouldn't be working today. I'm just joking. I'm a workaholic. I would still be working. But yeah, like nothing good in life, I feel like it's kind of the get rich quick scheme. Just like losing weight. I mean, I'm not going to be able to like lose 20 pounds overnight. It takes dedication and hard work, just like anything else great in life. Okay, so that's pretty much for the update. So let's start the show today by talking about shopping. Shopping is a big topic because there's a lot, and I'm gonna go over a few different areas of what to shop and also where to shop, and also depending on your purpose. So the first point I want to talk about is that you need to educate yourself, which means that I really, really recommend you to look for inspirations and put together a mood board or some sort of shopping list. One of the things, like, you know, they say don't don't go to a grocery store hungry, right? Because you just basically, because you're hungry, everything looks great and you will grab like everything. And especially, I think a lot of us who are really excited about shopping are kind of have that shiny penny syndrome. It's like, ooh, this looks really cool. Oh, that looks really great. And next thing you know, you, instead of one shopping cart, you have like five. So that's something to avoid, especially if you're on a budget. I'm very budget conscious. I used to be kind of a shopaholic early on in my career, and I would basically go to like gift show, which are these trade shows where you buy inventory at wholesale level, and I would go completely insane and crazy. And then after the product arrived, I'll be like, well, why did I buy this? You know, this didn't really represent our brand, or it like it looks great, but we can't really apply it in our staging. So that's why it's really important for yourself to educate yourself that like, okay, why am I buying this? Why do I need to buy this stuff? Like, so maybe you're staging your own house and you need new linen. Okay, great. So what, like who are my target buyers, right? Like in our DIY staging course, I really talk about, and also like in our regular podcast or blog, you're going to hear me talking about targeting your buyer. Because with staging, people really are buying into a lifestyle. So you need to create that atmosphere for them. It's the same thing when I work for places like Anthropologie or Ralph Lauren. It's all about creating this, not illusion, but you're selling this lifestyle to people, right? So that's really important when you're out there shopping. I'm a list person, a checklist. I'm very visual. So I would even, like sometimes if I have an idea in mind, I don't necessarily print it out, but I will have it on my phone. For example, I might pin everything that I need on a Pinterest board, the stuff I'm looking for. And then I'm just going to like pull up my Pinterest board in the shop and see like, okay, like what are some of the style of, you know, accessories I need to get. Maybe for this project, I need something that looks a little bit more rustic. And so these are the textures I need to hit when I'm shopping, right? So it is really important to go in and have a goal and have a list of things before you shop too. Like for example, I go to a flea market from time to time, and there's a really huge one here in the Bay Area, in Alameda, at the Navy Yard. And it's huge. I mean, it's like football fields put together. And it can be very, very overwhelming when you just go and you have like no idea where you're going and you don't know what you want to buy. But when you have a very specific thing in mind, say like, okay, I want antique typewriter, right? So every time you walk by a booth, that's the first thing you see, right? And you just like really laser in and focus in on finding the right antique typewriter for you. So that's one trick to do it. It's also really helpful to have a budget in mind, because let's be honest, most of us listening to the show are DIY people. We're really not made of money. And I'm definitely very conscientious about that when I shop for inventory. So for example, I work in the starter home market most of the time, right? So when I'm staging, I don't want a house to look like somebody who can buy a $5 million house lives here. Because that wouldn't make sense. You wouldn't want to create this lifestyle where everything is super luxe. And then your buyers coming in feel like, oh, I can't afford this, right? You're basically unconsciously telling them to leave in a way. So your staging, your inventory needs to be on point with the market that you're staging for. And that's why it's important to educate yourself. Because for example, you know, we talk about lifestyle. So for example, boho, maybe in your market, you have a lot of young buyers who are very into the bohemian look. So of course, you're not going to buy something like English Rose, right? So that's something that you really want to figure out before you go in and shop. The other thing too, having a purpose is really important. That's where your research and education come in. So if you're a homeowner, whether you're selling while you're living in a home or you're selling it vacant, things like linens, for example, like personal items, like towels, I'm talking about like towels or bedding and stuff like that, those need to be in perfect condition. Your furniture doesn't have to be. Usually when clients have sofa or even our own sofa, sometimes there might be a minor rip or like a stain or something like that. You can usually like cover up with a throw or accent pillow, no problem, right? But with like linens, like people things that like one would sleep on, not that your buyer is going to sleep in your bed, but when you're selling that lifestyle, you want to make sure it looks very clean and inviting and just very on point. So things like towels in the bathroom and bedroom linens, I usually would ask client to have like a perfect set. Or if they have something that they already use, but it looks like in perfect condition, then that's perfect. But if you don't have anything like that, you know, you don't want to put out a bathrobe that's clearly being worn by like several times. Because when you're putting that out there, it just sends buyers a signal like, oh, I'm touring someone else's house. And like subconsciously, they just want to walk away because they feel uncomfortable. I know this sounds very kooky sometimes, but buyer psychology is huge. I mean, companies, billion-dollar companies like Pottery Barn or like Target, Walmart, all have done studies on how their buyers shop. So it's really important to like understand these type of buyer behavior. I remember, so I live in San Francisco Bay Area, and Market Street is one of the major street going through the heart, which is like the financial center, financial district. And on Market Street, there's an Old Navy on 4th and Market. It's a huge store. It's basically their flagship store. In case you don't know, like Old Navy, they're headquartered here in the Bay Area. So one of the things that they did is when they were remodeling that entire store, they actually did all these studies. They realized that the men, actually, when they're shopping, they feel uncomfortable if they have to walk through women's department to shop. It makes them feel uneasy. So they naturally would not want to go in and shop. So when they found that out, they redid the layout of the store where men can just get off the escalator and walk directly into men's department to shop. Because, yeah, like same thing with like, I remember when I work in Nordstrom in college, you know, as a job, one of the things in our employee training is that you never want to make customers feel awkward about returning stuff, because that naturally is already awkward. Same thing with touring someone else's home, that's while someone else is living there, like a stranger's house. It does feel awkward when you're going in. And so what's the worst thing when you already feel awkward? They make you feel even more awkward, right? And that's why when it comes to these personal care stuff, you know, like hand soap, linens, towels, bedding, I usually ask clients to just put new or almost new stuff out, because you do want to create that lifestyle, even just like hotel, right? Like hotel rooms are being slept in night after night after night after night, and you don't know what kind of people have gone through that. So, but how can they make it so inviting every time? It's because A, they clean the heck out of it. It's super clean every time you walked in. Two, the linen and the bedding looks amazing, right? It looks super inviting. You just want to plop yourself down and then just like do the whole snowman thing in your bed. So yeah, I mean, snow angel thing in the bed. So yeah, those personal linens, you really want to make sure that they look perfect. If you're purchasing new bedding, I would recommend buying something gender neutral. And if you're a homeowner listening to this, I would recommend buying something you actually like. I personally am not a fan of returning used stuff back to the store, but if you're okay with that, that's fine. But I would definitely recommend buying something gender neutral and that can work in a wide variety of purpose. So not only they can be used, they can be used for a boy or girl's room, or they can use as a guest room. So usually when people have second or third bedroom, I usually recommend people think of it as a guest bedroom. Unless it's in a neighborhood where there's a lot of children, then you can go a little bit younger and stage it as a child's room. There are some people who want to do the all pink girl's room. I think that's fine. It can play either way, but just keep it like, I think simple is key. Like, don't really overdo it, because there are people who just don't like pink. Blue and greens and gray are actually really well like, they go over pretty well. And also depending on the season as well, I personally prefer, like, having bought so many different pattern beddings, I personally prefer white beddings the most. I think, especially if you're a stager or a real estate agent listening to this and you're looking to add things in your inventory, white bedding is great because you can add anything to it and then tweak the style accordingly. It's the most versatile one. That's why if you look at big hotel chains like a Hilton or like, I don't know, like Holiday Inn, they all use white bedding, right? And then at the foot of the bed, they have this blanket thing where they go over. And that can be swapped out really easily with any color. And then same thing with pillows and accent pillow. You can essentially have a white bedding and then just change it every season if you want. If you're a homeowner listening to this, change it with accent pillows and, you know, like a throw blanket or something like that every season to make it look different. You can also even tweak the style because of it. So it's very, very versatile. Okay. So that's my first point. And the second point is, sorry, I can't seem to read my handwriting. Okay. The second thing is like where to shop and what to buy. So I'm going to give you a list of places I go to shop very often. I go to IKEA. Most clients don't want to hear this. They always are like, oh, you got this at IKEA. But I think IKEA actually has some great little dishes. I buy a little like little tiny vases or glass. And they look beautiful, actually. And they work very well. And then in IKEA, I also buy... I buy a lot of curtain panels from IKEA because I think they're reasonably priced. Target is also good for that too. If you're ever looking for window treatment, that's more trendy. Target is a great source for that. IKEA, I also buy these little potted fake plants and like these white container that goes in. I also buy artwork at IKEA sometimes, but I avoid from buying artwork that looks very IKEA or very recognizable IKEA. Like the Audrey Hepburn canvas print, for example, that was like very, very clear that it's IKEA. I mean, there is brand recognition and it kind of swings both way. And that's why when I'm working with my client, it's not like I'm deceiving them, but I don't really use a lot of IKEA because when people pay for a professional, they want to feel like they're paying for value. And that's why I use like, you know, bits and pieces here and there, but I wouldn't stage the entire house with IKEA. I did that very early on in my career when I was building my inventory and my business. But now that I am pretty established, we buy pretty much all the furniture wholesale. And usually when I buy furniture, I look for, because my style is pretty transitional, and depending on the house, they were staging a Victorian, I might be a little bit more traditional and mixing some vintage pieces. Or for more contemporary area, I'm mixing more like the cooler, newer kind of stuff, where it's like more simple line. So usually for sofas and stuff like that, I buy things that are fairly simple lined and not a lot of fuzzy details and stuff like that. Like if you're familiar with the store like Room and Board or like even Crown and Barrel furniture that looks a lot like that. With Parr & Bond furniture, I think they look very nice, but I think it's too many details for me, especially for staging. So I tend not to buy that. But if you are a homeowner listening to this and you want to buy, say you want to buy a new sofa to stage your home with and then to take it to your new house, I think quality comes into consideration. When you're buying, not just for the shape as well. So it just depends on what you're buying. Most of the resources I'm going to give you today are mostly on accessories, because the other thing too is like you can buy, here's the insider's tip, like we don't really tell clients, like I can buy a very cheap couch, right? For like a wholesale, I can buy a couch for like $400 or $500, right? So I might buy a cheap couch, but I use nice accessories because that's where like all the textures and all the like visual interests come in, like you know, like you layer in like different colors, different textures, and that's how you create a really good looking interior. It's through layering on these different textures and color and visual interests, and the peaks and the lows, and all that good stuff, right? So accessories is actually in a way very important. Depending what kind of decorative accessories you use, you also convey the styling of the home. For example, how you would stage a modern house, you know, like you see in the magazine Dwell versus something like Southern Comfort or Veranda. That's going to be two very different kinds of accessories. So just keep that in mind when you're doing your shopping as well. The other place I really like to shop is Target. Target, I love Target, to be honest. And if you are a frequent Target shopper, get the Target card. I'm not saying this for you to get into credit card debt, but I just, you know, as a disclaimer, but you do save 5%. I'm also not affiliated. We're not getting sponsored by Target. I just want to make that very clear. But I do shop a lot at Target, and having worked on their product photo shoot, it was also very interesting to see how like products are merchandise on the back end. So from that standpoint too, I feel like their buyers really have to they really had kicked it up a notch. Like a lot of things that you see at Target, especially the threshold line for their homes, they're really great. I mean, the towels are really great. They're very soft, which I'd like. The pricing is not bad. I like their accessories. I like the Nate Berkus line as well. I think some of the stuff is kind of weird looking, but a lot of things with the gold accents and the brass accents, for example, that's really in right now, is very on trend. And because the price point that, because one of the things that like I'm going to talk about later, or I can talk about it now actually, is quality versus quantity, right? And also the price point. So when you're buying something like a fast fashion, you know, like Target or IKEA, where the price point is really low, it doesn't matter if it goes out of trend very quickly. But if you're buying a quality piece, like a sofa, for example, that you want to have like return on investment, right? Because I mean, a sofa is not cheap. You can easily spend $1,000 on a really nice sofa, but that's going to last you 5, 10, 15 years, right? So that's when you had to take that into consideration. So depending on who you are and what you're shopping for, those are kind of things that you want to look for. So yeah, Target, their threshold line is really great. I like the pattern on their bedding, but to be honest, I don't like the quality as much. They kind of fray a little bit. For bedding, I actually buy a lot of Pottery Barn and West Elm when they go on sale. I am a very frugal person, and I think slightly out of season is fine, especially for staging purpose. Most of the time with the Euro Shams and stuff, the beds look incredible. So those are the good things that I kind of splurge on. And then Target has a lot of little trend, like little, you know, I call it tchotchkes, but you know, they sell a lot of those like cute animals or like little cute boxes that I use to create like little lifestyle moments. I use books a lot, which I buy at thrift stores. So I buy like hardcover books at thrift store where I like just take off the book cover, because the book cover usually are very loud and distracting. But the naked kind of like that looks great. So I use those kind of stuff in my selling a lot. But just like having a stack of books sometimes looks a little lonely. So I'll put like a little trinket on top of it, like a little, you know, little box or something like that. Or like they have these salt and pepper shakers that are like shaped in little cute animals, like a fox, for example. I'll put that on top of it. The other place I like is West Elm. That's the other thing with Target too. They actually have, I don't want to say knockoff, but they're kind of that West Elm styling, but for a fraction of the price. And that's why I also like shopping at Target. And honestly, professional stylists shop at Target all the time, so don't feel bad. I have shopped for stylists. We shop at the same place you guys shop at, like IKEA and Target. It's kind of the go-to in a lot of kind of the lifestyle photo shoots, prop shopping trips. So, yeah. Okay. So West Elm is great. I like most of the stuff at West Elm. If I can buy the entire store, I probably would. For staging-wise, their beddings are great. And they're very actually long-lasting. So even though they sell pretty trendy stuff, but a lot of things can withstand the test of time. I have West Elm bedding that I've been using for 7 or 8 years. And they still look great and in great condition. But then again, keep in mind, we never wash them. That's a gross thing about staging. We never really wash them unless they're really like stained and dirty. So that's probably why they're also, you know, in really great condition. The other place I shop a lot is also Crate and Barrel. I like a lot of vases. I like the more ceramic, kind of organic look. And also I mean, these stores, the inventory does look more expensive, which kind of elevates the styling in general. The other place I really love is Anthropology. I think every woman probably loves Anthropology. I have not yet come across someone who hates it. Unless you work there, then I understand. But yeah, Anthropology has a great sales area for their home stuff. And that's where I usually buy plates. I buy a lot of plates. Sometimes books too. Like you can score really good deals in the sales section at Anthropology. So if you have one nearby your house, I would recommend checking them out or even online. They definitely sell some of the stuff that's more like the on-trend stuff, obviously a little bit more French and the more boho. It depends on your buyer. So maybe some of these stores I'm recommending are just totally not in your target at all. But so it just depends on what you want. But from my perspective, if you like the look that I do, like from looking at my portfolio online, these are the stores I shop. So Pottery Barn, again, I buy bedding there. I also buy fake florals there. Pottery Barn has a very good... I just love their stores. I know, like, I have friends who work there. I mean, it's very highly manipulated. The reason why their bedding looks so good is because somebody basically goes around the clock and fluff the heck out of those beddings. And there's actually multiple beddings in there. And that's why everything looks so fluffy. I also love that layer look that they do with their bedding. So I do scour their sale section to look for beddings on sale because they are nice quality. And I do like that Eurochamp looks. I know most men prefer not to have like more than two pillows on their bed, but I have to tell you, for staging, it looks great. I'm a fan of accent pillows. I own several hundreds of them. So for work, Z Gallery is fantastic for artwork. Artwork is hard. It used to be that you can shop for artwork fairly inexpensively in a lot of different stores like Ross or Mervyn's. Oh, Mervyn's out of business now, sorry. Or Marshall's and stuff. But now these business models have shifted. And so good artwork became harder and harder to find. So in recent years, what I've been doing is I would scour online. It depends on your budget, but I like Minta.com, for example. I heard great things about Art.com. I also like Z Gallery because it's accessible. We have a store locally, so it's easier to see the size and the scale and everything, and then the quality of the artwork. The other thing is I like kind of the simple black frame, which they sell a lot at IKEA as well. That's the other thing I buy at IKEA. I buy a lot of their picture frame. Because you can buy really large ones for very inexpensive. The other things you can look for is at Cheap Pete's or... is it Aaron's? Are they called Aaron's? They're like a Michael but sell frames. Let me Google it really quick. Hang on. Let me see. No, Aaron's Furniture. Oh my god. Sorry, guys. You're listening to me Googling. It's called Aaron Brothers. That's right. Okay. So yeah, Aaron Brothers, they usually have coupons. Same thing with Michael's. So I will actually look for inexpensive frames. And then I will buy them because you never know when you need it. And like I said in previous podcasts, I would put in like wrapping paper. They're really great looking, or tissue paper or even calendar pages. Just kind of make your own artwork. I've done that several times and it's worked very, very well. The other place is Etsy, E-T-S-Y. They're great. They're kind of like eBay but for handmade and vintage stuff. So I have bought like the vintage like marquee signs where I put them in frames that spell like our local airport code, like San Francisco International Airport is SFO. So I've done that in my staging as well, or I spell like, you know, stuff like yes or, you know, like random things. And those are really good. Like Etsy is a great source for that. But Etsy takes time to kind of scour through the junk. So I would recommend if you are looking for specific things, then Etsy might be a really good source for you. Especially now with the hand lettering is very popular. That's a really great source for artwork as well. I also Google or search through Pinterest to see if I get like free printables and stuff. And I can manipulate it in Illustrator or Photoshop, and then I will print it at Kinko's or something. And the other thing too is like, one of the things I learned at Ralph Lauren was that we would take a lot of stock photos. You know, like, I don't know if you've been to a Ralph Lauren store, but when you walk in, like, they usually have, like, if you have a Ralph Lauren home section, they usually sell these silver, like, really beautiful photo frame. And inside is always, like, a beautiful woman and a beautiful man, like, they're hugging or, you know, taking picture together, that kind of thing. A lot of that actually is stock photo. So, basically, you can just pull stock photo, size it to the size that you want. And one of the trick is that you lay them out on a giant sheet. So you might have five pictures on one poster or whatever. That cuts down your printing cost, right? So once you got your poster bag, you just like cut it up and then pop them in frame. So that's another great way for us to make kind of like makeshift art, basically. Thrift store is a really great resource for me, especially early on when I was trying to build my business and inventory. In a few episodes back, I interviewed Karen Otto, who's like a master at this. Like she used a lot of vintage finds. She also lives in Texas, which I'm super jealous. She lived by where the Joanna and Chip Gaines live. They're on that show, Fixer Upper. Gosh, my memory is terrible. This is why I prefer to script everything. So they have a really great market there that just sell like antique and vintage items. She's really the master of this. Like if you have time, listen to her episode about that. I love her staging where she incorporates a lot of different vintage pieces in her staging and they look fantastic. So one thing with thrift store is that you want to go to thrift stores that have good quality stuff, especially after estate sale. They usually dump whatever they can't sell at their local thrift store. So in my early days, I would go to like Goodwill or Salvation Army in nice neighborhoods after the weekend to kind of look for what kind of stuff we can buy. And I bought fantastic solid wood furniture for like $40 that looked great in staging and nobody could tell. They look like they came from an antique store. So yeah, so like it's important to, again, back to like educating yourself, like knowing your market and knowing what they want. It's very important because one of the things too, like things you will find from thrift store are usually outdated. So, but if you live in an area where they appreciate where you can mix a little bit old with the new, which is what San Francisco Bay Area is most of the time, then it will work really well for your market. So like, again, it's really worth it to do the homework, to kind of hit the pavement and then kind of look at open house in your area, see how they stage their listings and kind of take notes, like mental notes, and see like who are the potential buyers are and like stage your house accordingly. The last place I shop a lot I want to share here is World Market. World Market is fantastic. I'm I'm pretty addicted to like plates and bowls and like dishes and stuff, and all sorts of different containers. So like it makes perfect sense. I work in staging, right? This is a great way to hoard it from a professional point of view instead of a personal kind of stash. Although in my own personal bedroom, I have a lot of different cups and mugs and candles and everything else too, which drives my mom crazy every time she sees it. But anyway, World Market has a lot of great affordable pieces. When we talk about lifestyle staging, for example, I like to use canisters. They're see-through, they're clear glass, and then I'll put like flour or beans or like rice or pasta in there for decorative purpose. A lot of times people do cereal, or if you actually walk by those cupcake stores, I usually love to see their jars of like confetti sugar. It's so pretty. Anyway, so there are a lot of different ways you can play it, and there's so much stuff that you can get at World Market. I also got really great, pretty useful beddings. It's just that their quality is not great, so they get sun faded after a while. So just keep that in mind. Again, depending on what purpose you're doing. The other thing I love about World Market is they're very generous about their coupons. Same thing with Joann's. I buy fabric at Joann's when they have sales. That's another way I create cheap artwork. It's like take canvas frames and I basically just buy cheap fabric. Like cheap in price, but don't look cheap, basically. And I would like basically stretch them over canvas. And that could be my like, you know, make one of my artwork as well. So yeah, so that's kind of the gist of where I normally shop and where to buy. And obviously there's random places. I feel like as a home stager, you're always kind of shopping. And same thing if you are a homeowner listening to this and you're in the process of getting your house ready, it will do you some good to like go to these stores, like especially the bigger stores like West Elm, for example, or Pottery Barn, to kind of observe what what the current trend is. Because you do want to hit, especially if it's your target market, say you did your homework and then say you did your buyer research, for example. You did your buyer's research and you, in your buyer persona, you figure out that they like Crate and Barrel, for example. So you go to Crate and Barrel. You look at the catalog to see what kind of stuff your potential buyers would like and you emulate that in a way. So that's another way to kind of figure out what to shop and what to buy. So before we end the show today, I have 5 tips for you. So first of all, you want to think about evergreen versus trends. So again, it comes back to why and who you're shopping for. If you are a homeowner, you want to buy pieces just for the staging and then just sell it later on Craigslist, yeah, buy whatever's on trend. But if you are a homeowner or a stager that wants to buy and keep them, then I recommend buying something that is a little bit more evergreen. That is a good price point for you, that makes sense, that you were able to use it for staging and then in your home over and over again. The second tip is quality versus quantity. So like when I talk about Target, for example, you can buy things that are super on trend, but because the price point is low, it doesn't really matter, right? I personally, now I've been in business for a long time, it has changed on how I buy as well. For accessories, I definitely have been buying things that are more like higher and higher in quality, because not only it lasts us better, usually quality pieces are also more long lasting. So I focus on buying things that are sophisticated, are a little bit more sophisticated and timeless, that can be used in a wide variety of styling and scenarios. Like I talk about white bedding, for example, right? It's really easy to change up the white bedding just by adding different accent pillows and throws and stuff like that, change the coloring of it. So yeah, like, so it just depends on your budget and what you prefer. But if you saw a piece that you really, really love, you know, sure, why, and it's not super expensive, sure, why not, right? The third one is, does this piece add or subtract from your overall scheme? So this is where, like, the first point, educating yourself is very important, because you definitely want to come in with a game plan. In our staging course, we talk about color scheme and kind of like how to use color to unify the styling in the entire house. So it's the same thing. Like, it needs to make sense. For example, it's very on trend to like half. What's a good example? It's very on trend right now to have like an animal head that's like paper mache, for example, on your wall, right? But does that really work? Like, would that work for your target buyer, for example? So you need to kind of think about what will work in the grand scheme of things. Obviously, if it's something like towels, don't overthink about it. You know, something that's like white, crisp, or spot-like look will work just as fine. But if you're investing in something more significant like a sofa, then yeah, definitely think about it. Like, will this piece work with your existing things in your staging, right? Number four, you want to buy things that look quality but not expensive on price point. So you want to look for things that are really expensive looking but not actually cost you a lot of money. And that's why, for example, I like the Threshold line, because a lot of it is very on trend. They are, like, especially the Nate Burka stuff, I mean, the accents and stuff, some of them look really great and look very expensive. It look very expensively made, but they're actually not. After you've been shopping for a while, you can kind of start seeing the difference between the poor quality of materials versus, like, the higher quality of materials. I mean, you can even just feel it, too. Like, for example, linen's a really good example. You know, like, to talk about what Egyptian cotton threads, 500 versus 1,000, I mean, it's going to feel different. So it just depends on, again, like, what you're looking for and what your budget is. I personally think that it's worth to have better quality stuff but less pieces versus the other way around. But again, it depends on your needs and your budget. So it's just personal preference. But for staging, ultimately, it just needs to look clean. It needs to look neat. It needs to look styled, not like super fussy. And I always think that simple is better. And then my last tip for you to save money, join the savings club. You know, like, when you go to Safeway, they have Safeway's club that like allows you to like get a discount, stuff like that. Walmart is a really great one for that. It doesn't cost you anything to join their email club or whatever, but they do send you coupon actually a lot, like almost every day, or like they tell you some sales and stuff. So that's something for you to consider. So that's it for today's episode, and I hope you enjoy my freestyling. This is the first time I actually haven't scripted anything, so it's quite new for me. So I think there are definitely quite a few like ums and then like pauses and likes. So yeah, I would love to hear your feedback on this. As usual, feel free to leave me a question or a comment in the show notes. And if you enjoyed the show, please definitely please write a review on iTunes and submit a rating, because that's really going to help us grow the show. A lot of times when we book guests, they do check out our show. So the more reviews, the more positive feedback we get, it's going to make the show stronger. So yeah, if you are listening to this, please, just, it will take like less than 30 seconds. You can even rate us on your phone. If you have iTunes installed on your phone, if you're like an iPhone. So yeah, so thank you so much for listening, and have a fantastic week, and happy staging.